Is it really possible for a family to recover after the tragic death of a child? On today's classic edition of Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson spends time with Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman discussing the stunning and painful loss of Maria, their 5-year-old daughter. This is a program you don't want to miss, so stay tuned. Family Talk begins now.
Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind the clock back and hear the second part of a classic interview between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Grammy Award-winning Christian artist Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, Mary Beth. Many of you are familiar with a tragic accident that took the life of the Chapman's 5-year-old daughter, Maria, just over 7 years ago. And for those that just joined us, last time you heard Stephen Curtis Chapman play a special version of the song inspired by his daughter. In honor of that precious girl, and because of the fact that all of us deal with painful situations like this throughout our lives, we're going to spend 2 more days re-airing our interview about how God is present with us even in the darkest of circumstances. But before we get to the program, I want to let you know that if you're in a painful or emotional season in life and you need someone to talk to, we'd be happy to pray with you and connect you with a counselor in your area who can help you through these troubled times. Visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825 to speak with someone today. We really do want to be here for you. The number again, 877-732-6825. Let's get to the program. Here's Dr. James Dobson as he begins part 2 of our program with Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." That's just one of many, many scriptures which show us God's heart when it comes to those who are hurting and in need of comfort.
Well, our listeners who heard our broadcast yesterday will be aware that in the summer of 2008, Shirley and I came to Nashville, Tennessee, where I was working on my book, Bringing Up Girls, which is now finished, thankfully. And Stephen and Mary Beth Chapman live there in Franklin, Tennessee, which is very near, almost a suburb of Nashville. And they had just suffered a terrible tragedy on May the 21st of 2008. So it was just 2 months after their loss. And their precious daughter, Maria Sue, had gone on to heaven, and we're going to hear about that again in a moment. And I was invited to the Chapman's home that day, where Stephen and I recorded a program about the pain and sorrow that they were experiencing just a couple of months before. And now, 2 years have passed, and Stephen and Mary Beth are here with us at Family Talk, and we're so pleased, we're delighted to have them here. I know that most of our listeners will know Stephen's bio as well as I do, but he's recorded more than 20 Christian music albums since the 1980s. He's won 5 Grammy Awards and 56 Gospel Music Association Dove Awards, which is more than any other artist in history. They've had 3 children together and adopted 3 girls from China, and together they started a ministry that's called Show Hope, and we're going to hear more about that a little bit later. It's a pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
Our humble beginnings here of Family Talk.
Thank you so much for having us.
Stephen, your story is now known to millions and millions of people. Most Christians have heard a version of it. But there's still those out there in our listening audience who didn't hear us yesterday and don't know the details. Give us a quick overview of what took place when you lost little Maria Sue.
Okay. Well, it was May 21st, 2008, and May 13th was Maria's 5th birthday of 2008, and she's our youngest of 6 children and our youngest of 3 adopted daughters, and so she just turned 5. We had actually been in China, so we had just gotten back on May 12th from China, and which interestingly enough, was the day that the terrible earthquake hit in China. We were flying out of Shanghai right when the earthquake hit. So we came home, celebrated Maria's fifth birthday. Just a few days after that, our oldest daughter, Emily, was engaged to Tanner Richards, and they are now married. We had our oldest son, Caleb, getting ready to graduate in a few days from high school.
The little ones graduated from preschool.
Yep, yep. Stevie Joy and Maria had just graduated from preschool.
In other words, life was in high gear.
Oh, it was absolutely. And May 21st, we had turned our kitchen into Wedding Central. Mary Beth called it. She had, you know, her computer out and making guest list and starting to get plans made. And we were all at home, all except for our oldest daughter, Emily. And Will Franklin had been out doing something at school, and he was coming home. And the three little girls were all in the backyard playing on the playground and the monkey bars. And I just actually stepped out on the front porch to make a phone call. And so I saw Will coming up the driveway, and it was about, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And the little girls, Maria had wanted to get on the monkey bars, and she had asked her sister, Shoei, who was the oldest, Shoei's now 10, she'd asked her to put her up on the monkey bars, and Shoei wasn't able to lift her up. And she saw Will Franklin driving up the driveway, and we have a pretty long driveway, and so she saw him kind of in the distance and said, "Hey, Will's coming up the drive." And she very appropriately said, "You know, Will will come and play with you and get you on the monkey bars." And he was a great big brother, just loves his little sisters so much, and Will stop whatever he's doing and get on the floor and wrestle with him and play with him. So he had come up the driveway, and Maria took off running to meet him kind of at the garage. And so he just didn't see her as he came around the corner, and Johanna yelled to her to stop. And these are, of course, some of the details we've learned in the months, you know, following, and even with counseling and all of that with our girls, because, you know, everybody carries their own degree of responsibility or guilt, you know, Shoei feeling like I told her to go and, you know, get her brother. And but Maria just being the little, very little stubborn miss that she was, she just kept trucking and
none of
to her
that
brother.
Guilt is valid, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously. None of it. Right. And yet you feel it just as intensely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so Will just didn't see her. She was hit there in the driveway. And, the reason we talk, you know, we say everyone was there, I mean, it was, you can imagine, it's not just then losing a daughter, but of course our son, now that we're concerned about, you know, once we knew within the following hours that Maria hadn't survived, then we begin to be concerned about our son's heart and just the weight that's going to crush him under, and we begin to pray for him. And of course, the little girls who were all right there in the backyard with their sister and saw it. And so it was just a very, tragic, just unthinkable day. And that was May 21st.
And a day that will be burned into your memory for as long as you live and your children as well.
Yeah.
Mary Beth, the day that I was at your house, you were still grieving so badly, you were not ready to talk about it, and I understood that. Mm. But it's now been a couple of years, and you've written a book about it. So you've not only talked about it, but you have put it out there for the world to see. And this book has really just come out, and it's called Choosing to See. And the subtitle says, A Journey of Struggle and Hope. The experience of the last 2 years has, I'm sure, changed you. But what has happened since that day? First of all, what do you recall of it? And then how has it played itself out in your family and in your heart?
Well, obviously, when something like that happens, time kind of stands still and everything it's not linear anymore. Time just kind of, it just kind of slows way down and kind of morphs into, you just don't even realize some of the days go by, just trying to go into survival mode. Being the mother of six children and just being a mother, period, you kind of go into that mode of what needs to be done right now immediately for the five children who are here, because the one that's the most whole now is Maria. And so it kind of shifted into the gear of what kind of help can I get and how soon can I get it. And so many people praying for us all over the world really, I think, gave Stephen and I a supernatural ability to, because you're in so much shock with so much adrenaline and just so many of the details I don't remember, and had to like interview people and talk to them and ask them what really went on and what was said. And I think God does that sometimes to just really help protect you and help carry you through those immediate moments after a tragedy, and then helps you then move into the response mode of how do I get the children help. And our pastor was so great in immediately kind of getting the little girls with a great child play therapist to help them kind of work out the accident and then help them see Maria appropriately like she is in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's been amazing. That's been ongoing. They still see her on a semi-regular basis. It was a very regular basis, mm-hmm. and we've kind of graduated out of that a little bit. And then also Will Franklin immediately getting somebody to be with him in those days and moments. But as a mom, to see how the three older children responded even to us and how they cared, they became almost caretakers as well for Stephen and I, and just how we all kind of banded together in those moments and those days. We didn't go home immediately. We went to our closest friend's house. Their third daughter is now married to our second child, Caleb, and we've always been close with them, and we kind of, you know, huddled up there for the first several days after the accident. And to watch my older children literally hold Will and pray over him and, you know, just go to battle for his very soul, and the enemy just shouting those accusations of guilt and fault and anything that he was thinking. And we came down one night to check on him, and all of the young kids that were there with him were praying. And my daughter and her then fiance, now husband, had slipped out and came in, and Stephen and I witnessed them washing his feet and just praying over that young man's very life.
Were the harder days yet to come?
Absolutely.
In the beginning, you're numb.
Yes.
Your mind is protected a little bit, as you said. But then you begin to realize this is till heaven.
Yes. My little girls, maybe 6-8 months after the accident, one day Shoei just kind of had a complete meltdown and just looked up at me, and she's 9 years old, and she's just said, "Mommy, why does this have to be so hard?" And I said, "What's so hard?" And she said, "Just not having Maria here. Why is this so hard?" And so, you know, I don't have that answer for her until heaven, where we can see the whole picture. But I just immediately thought to say to her, because Jesus asked us to do hard, and we all stick together and we all stay where he wants us to be, and we all steward this story as well as we can, and we're not going to do it perfectly, but we're going to do hard and we're going to finish strong. But that's not been easy.
That's an understatement, I'm sure. Explain who Maria Sue was and is now in heaven. All kids are precious, but this one was especially so, wasn't she?
Yeah. She was a special needs orphan. She had an ASD, which is a hole in the heart, but by the time we adopted her and got her completely checked out health-wise, it had healed itself and she didn't need any surgery. But Stephen had met her he was with Luis Palau on a crusade in China. And we were not planning on adopting again. We felt like our quiver was full for the fifth time.
And truth be told, I was under strict orders when I went on
from
that
me.
Trip.
Yeah.
Don't come home with a child.
Yeah, it was like, whatever you do,
souvenir.
Do not try to bring home any living souvenirs from China. Yeah. This time there's no room in the inn. We already had our two girls.
How old
adopted.
Was Maria?
By the time we adopted her, she was almost 16 months old. Mm-hmm. And so she was a little older, and Stevie Joy was just 7 months old when we adopted her the year before, so that closed the gap. They were just 7 months apart, so they were a lot like twins because they would have been in the same grade. They were getting ready to go to kindergarten together, but they were completely different. Stevie Joy is the one that I'll be referring to all of your books for. She's going to give us a run for our money. But Maria Sue, would have too, except she was the stubborn one. She just had a mind of her own, but she lived life to the fullest. And the day of the accident, actually, they were pretending to be the Chapman sisters. You know, music talk is big around our house. So they were pretending to be a famous musical group, the Chapman sisters, and they were going to go to an after show party with the Jonas Brothers. And that's what the big pretending that was going on that day. And so she had her little tutu on and was quite excited to go to that party. But she lived life to its fullest. And, you know, so many people have very good intentions and said, you know, early on, why did you hear a lot of, why did this happen to you? You're such good people. You do so many good things. Why, you know, why did this bad thing happen? And you start to believe it. You start to kind of go, yeah, why did it happen? Yeah. Why did that happen to us? We are good people. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, God just grabs your attention. And Steve and I have traveled the world. We've seen the suffering in third world countries. We've seen the suffering in our own country. We've seen and have talked to so many people who have survived much, much pain. But yet, all of a sudden, you sit and you realize that's not the question to be asking. The question to be asking is, why not us? And then what are we going to do with it to steward it well? And I don't want to be sitting here saying that to you, but I'd rather be at home with Maria. But I now understand. That we have been entrusted with this story, it's how can we best help other people who are suffering?
Stephen, you and I and a number of others were invited to Southern California recently for the Harvest Crusade with Greg Laurie.
Yeah.
And you sang and were interviewed by Greg, and so was I. I didn't sing, but I did.
I was disappointed in that. Yeah,
No, you're not. But the theme of that evening is, why do bad things happen to good people? And, of course, my book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, was kind of a backdrop for that, as was Greg's experience, because he lost his son, Christopher. And Ryan, you have tears in your eyes right now. You were very, very close to Christopher, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know, Ryan, a month before Christopher passed away, I didn't know Greg Laurie. I still haven't met him in person, but just through Stephen. And a month before Christopher passed away was a month after Maria passed away. And he wrote us a card, and it just came on a simple postcard, and it just said, always remember that Maria is a much bigger part of your future than she ever was of your past. And he had no idea that Christopher was going to be leaving so soon. But that just seared into our soul to just hang on to, we just have to live without him this long, and then we have, you know, to infinity and beyond, as Maria loved to say, Buzz Lightyear, to live with them. And I'm sorry for that pain, because it is, there's no words.
And that's no, there really are. You know, it was, I've actually only talked about it once. It was this week, and it was due to you, Stephen, and Pastor Greg talking about it. I was at a camp this week talking about grief and loss, and spoke about Chris. And as you sang Cinderella, watching his daughters you know, dance around was, and I don't think we were meant to experience death. When God created the earth, there was no death. When it says the lion will lay with the lamb in times to come, that's how it was in the beginning. And so death is such a foreign entity that we're so incapable of handling it well. So we lost Laura's mom when she was 5 months pregnant with Lincoln. Laura was the first one to find her. Came home for a baby shower.
So, what is your take on why bad things happen to good people? You've been there. You've been out there trying to serve the Lord. You've been
that's just going not even fair for Dr. Dobson to ask us that question. You're the ones we're supposed to come and ask you that question.
Well, I've done a lot of thinking about it.
We've done a lot of wrestling.
Nobody ever gets to the bottom of that well, I'll tell you.
And I think I would just probably answer for myself, because I have, and we have asked a lot of questions. In fact, one of the songs on my, I call it an album for lack of a better word, but it was really my Psalms that came out of our journey I put together in an album called Beauty Will Rise. And one of those psalms was a song called Questions, and it was just a handful of the, you know, ocean of questions I wrestled with. God, you know, who are you? Where were you? How could you make a, you know, world, you know, be so good and strong and make a world so full of pain and trouble? And basically, for me, the answer to that question, all those whys, came down to, it's not an answer, but it was, God, you know, I'm even afraid to wrestle with these questions. You know, I'm afraid to even ask these questions. But if you know my heart as well as I believe you do, you know they're there. And so I'm just going to say, I trust you. I'm just going to land on.
It really comes down to that. Yeah. It really does. And I said in my interview with Greg Laurie that night in front of 50,000 people, a stadium was jammed, and we were talking about that question, that why question. And I wish I had said, you know, when you get home, you think, boy, I wish I'd had time to add to that. But even Jesus Christ, Lord of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, asked the question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We all feel at times like we are forsaken. And in those moments, what does he want from us? He wants trust and faith and obedience, and wants us to continue to believe that he's there, that he cares, that he's going to be with us even in the darkest hour, as he was with Christ himself. And I mentioned that night that that Job ask these wonderful questions. We reread the book of Job not too long ago, and those are brilliant questions that he asked the Lord. And Jehovah's answer to him was, who are you to ask me? You know, I am God, and I will do what I will do. But we now know that that whole story was a metaphor. It was true, but it was also a metaphor for all of our suffering, and that we all go through times like that, and that we do what Job did when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the answer. And I'll find out later. I don't need to know right now. But I do know who holds the answer.
Amen.
You know, there are times when we sit around this table in this little makeshift studio that I'm aware of the presence of God. And it's been very apparent to me today. I hope you have felt it too. It's like he has kind of hovered over us. And we often pray at the start of a program and say, Lord, use this for your purposes and be there and lead and guide us, because there's so many hurting people out there. You know, when I was at USC School of Medicine, Children's Hospital, and I was on the attending staff there, I saw these dying children all the time. And I saw the parents who were standing around the lobbies and around the surgical family room and crying and praying and grieving. So I've seen a lot of that. And they are in need of somebody who's also going through it, saying, I've been where you are, and you're going to make it. We have made it, and you're going to make it too. And God be with you, and our prayers are with you. And he has been with us every step of the way. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes.
It's been hard, and it's not over, because you'll deal with this the rest of your lives. And yet, you also are aware of the presence of God. And saying that to other people who are going through it is a marvelous thing. And we're going to talk to you some more about that next time.
All
okay?
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It is so inspiring to hear how two people, in the midst of some of the deepest and darkest pain a human being can experience on earth, can still say that God is good, and that he is with them, and that he gives us hope in the worst of circumstances. I know I was touched by this program when we recorded it, and again, I am touched by it today, and I continue to be moved by the legacy of faith that the Chapmans carry with them, even in the midst of trying times. We've been listening to the second part of an interview between Dr. James Dobson and Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman here on Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and we'll hear the conclusion of this broadcast next time. For those of you in our audience who find yourselves in a similarly dark situation, maybe you too have lost someone dear to you, or you've lost a child, or maybe you're in a different type of painful situation. If you need someone to talk to, we'd be glad to pray with you and connect you with a counselor in your area who can help. Call us, 877-732-6825. Again, our phone number is 877-732-6825. You are not alone in this. We are here to help, encourage, and do whatever we can to walk you through the situations you're dealing with. And that brings us to the end of our program today. For now, this is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of our classic interview with Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.